Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Tuesday, January 19th, 2021. Coming up this hour,
Joe Biden heads to Washington to prepare for Inauguration Day.
The president-elect's pick for Treasury Secretary testifies on Capitol Hill.
U.S. coronavirus deaths approach 400,000.
And Goldman Sachs and Bank of America report earnings this morning.
New York Governor Cuomo asks Pfizer to sell COVID vaccines directly to the state. Plus, a new poll shows historically low numbers for President Trump. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. Good holiday results for local teams. The Knicks won, so did the Nets, Islanders, and St. John's.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak. On Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. U.S. futures are higher to start the week. We're coming up to 6:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up 26 points this morning. Dow futures up 178. NASDAQ futures up 124. The DAX in Germany is up about 0.2%. FTSE 100 up about the same, and the CAC in Paris is down about 0.1%. Nikkei 225 in Japan gained 1.4%. The Hang Seng in Hong Kong jumped 2.7%. 10-year Treasury down 9/32, yield 1.11%, yield on the 2-year 0.13%. NYMEX crude oil is up 0.33%, or 18 cents, at $52.54 a barrel. COMEX gold is up 0.75%, or $13.60, at $18.43.70 an ounce. The euro, 1.2130 against the dollar, the yen 104.01. Nathan.
Karen, we begin in the nation's capital, where President-elect Joe Biden arrives today to prepare for the inauguration. This time, the traditional celebration has been replaced by a military lockdown. Amy Morris brings us the latest from our Bloomberg 99.1 newsroom in Washington.
About 25,000 National Guard soldiers are deployed across D.C. Tall fencing surrounds the U.S. Capitol building in the White House, and there are security checkpoints throughout the area. President Trump will not attend tomorrow's ceremony, a first since 1869. And within his first week in office, Biden is expected to ask Congress to pass a $1.9 trillion stimulus and issue executive orders to both reverse Trump policies and advance his own. In Washington, I'm Amy Morris, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Amy, thank you. And as he prepares to take office, President-elect Biden is rejecting a move by President Trump to rescind travel bans on non-Americans arriving from the EU, UK, and Brazil. The bans are aimed at preventing the spread of COVID-19. President Trump said they can be eased safely, but Biden officials say they plan to strengthen public health measures around international travel.
Meantime, we're learning more about plans for President Trump's final hours in office before he leaves D.C. tomorrow. Here with details is Bloomberg's Karen Chase.
The president leaves the White House with Americans more unemployed and politically divided than when he arrived. His final day tomorrow will begin with a small send-off at the White House, where a limited group of aides will watch the liftoff of the presidential helicopter. Then he attends a farewell ceremony at Joint Base Andrews before boarding Air Force One for the final trip to Florida. Moving trucks have already been spotted outside his Mar-a-Lago resort, where neighbors have been fighting to prevent him from living permanently. Karen Chase, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Karen, thank you. President Trump is expected to announce a list of pardons today. Now, sources tell us that White House officials do not expect President Trump to pardon his family, close aides, or himself. Bloomberg White House correspondent Josh Wingrove explains why.
No U.S. president has tried to do it, and it's a legal dispute about whether they even can do it. But Trump, in doing so, number one, might invite a challenge. It might test the theory of whether he can do it. And the other one is it would be kind of admitting that he has something to pardon. It would be admitting that he's at risk. And Trump is not a guy that likes to do that.
Sources tell us White House counsel Pat Cipollone has resisted pardons for the president or his family and is looking to narrow grants of clemency issued by the president as he leaves office.
On Capitol Hill today, the confirmation hearing for Biden's choice to be Treasury Secretary begins. Janet Yellen appears before the Senate Finance Committee at 10 a.m. Wall Street time. And here with more is Bloomberg's Doug Krisner.
Yellen will likely face questions on an array of topics, from foreign exchange policy to taxes. This is the first congressional forum where lawmakers can vet President-elect Biden's $1.9 trillion COVID relief plan. Yellen's prepared remarks suggest she'll say, given low borrowing cost, it's time to act big. Yellen will tell the virtual hearing the U.S. economy has been suffering from entrenched inequality, and the administration's longer-term goal will be to create more prosperity for more people. I'm Doug Krisner, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Doug, thank you. As Yellen addresses the economic fallout from the pandemic, the death toll is on the cusp of a grim milestone. And Bloomberg's John Tucker joins us live with the very latest. John.
And Karen, U.S. coronavirus deaths are likely to pass 400,000 today. Still, there are signs that daily cases in the U.S. are coming off their highs. And with the start of the global vaccination campaign, countries have experienced unequal access. That has the World Health Organization warning the virus will breed more dangerous variants. Meantime, trials to make sure vaccines are safe for the young are beginning. The University of Oxford is planning initial tests in 12 to 18-year-olds next month. Pfizer and Moderna started recruiting participants at the end of last year, but finding volunteers hasn't been easy. Well, so far, the U.S. has administered more than 14.7 million vaccine doses. You can get the latest on the effort from our Bloomberg Vaccine Tracker online at Bloomberg.com. John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thanks, John. Turning to corporate news now, earnings from big banks continue on Wall Street today. Here with more is Bloomberg's Larry Kofsky.
Bank of America and Goldman Sachs will have their results before the market opens this morning. Trading is expected to be a bright spot for Bank of America, with revenue up 15%. Earnings are expected to fall 26% versus a year earlier. Goldman Sachs business indicators may show revenue momentum heading into 2021, according to Bloomberg Intelligence. Total revenue is expected to fall just 1% from last year, as earnings rise 47%. Larry Kofsky, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thanks, Larry. We're also looking for earnings this afternoon from Netflix. Analysts say the company is on the verge of crossing the 200 million subscriber mark, but it's facing competition from rivals like Walt Disney, AT&T, Comcast, and Amazon.com.
And turning to the markets now, we're seeing a slight lift for oil. That's despite the International Energy Agency lowering forecasts for global demand. It said renewed lockdowns to contain the pandemic are tempering the economic recovery. Checking oil now, NYMEX crude is at $52.54 a barrel. And straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. And this is Bloomberg.
All right, Karen, thank you. 6:07 on Wall Street. Time to check what's going on in New York and around the world with Michael Barr. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. New York Governor Andrew Cuomo says he asked Pfizer if the state could buy vaccines directly from the company because the U.S. government has failed to increase supply. Cuomo says he wrote a letter to Pfizer's CEO saying the CDC expanded eligibility to more than 7 million New Yorkers from 5 million practically overnight. Cuomo says, though, it has vaccinated its most vulnerable elderly citizens.
100% of the nursing home facilities have had their day one first vaccination.
Pfizer responded to Cuomo's request, saying direct sales are not allowed under its emergency use authorization. Violent protests outside of New York City Hall led to dozens of arrests last night. Black Lives Matter protesters also demonstrated on the Brooklyn Bridge. Police say several officers suffered non-life-threatening injuries. New York Mayor Bill de Blasio unveiled the New York City Discipline Matrix, which carefully spells out a no-exceptions table of disciplinary action for police and other city employees found to be committing actions of racial bias.
Anyone who wears a uniform and does the wrong thing needs to understand the consequences will be real and swift.
De Blasio made his comments at a Martin Luther King event run by the National Action Network. President Trump's approval rating has dropped to 34% in the Gallup poll. The latest numbers are based on a poll before the January 6th assault on the Capitol. First Lady Melania Trump has released a farewell address to the nation where she mentions what she says she accomplished in 4 years.
Be Best have evolved into a platform that encourages world leaders to discuss issues impacting the lives of children.
Last week, the First Lady condemned the Capitol violence but did not mention who incited it. A Pennsylvania woman accused of stealing a computer from House Speaker Nancy Pelosi's office during the Capitol riots has been caught. The FBI has arrested Riley June Williams, who is being investigated over allegations that she may have stolen Pelosi's laptop or hard drive with the intention of selling it to Russia's intel agency. Williams was arrested after an accusation from a former romantic partner that she took the laptop. Global news, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Tank, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts from more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Thank you, Michael. 6:09 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Sports Update. Here's John Stashower.
All right, Nathan, Nets and Bucks could well be the top two teams in the East. Milwaukee, best record in the NBA over the last two seasons. Nets, of course, just added James Harden to join Kevin Durant. Two teams played a tight game last night in Brooklyn and went down to the wire.
Bucks by one, 47 seconds to go. Durant with it up top. Moves it left, cut off, back on the wing. Harden's got it. Three on the way. No good, too strong. Harden his own rebound. Out to Durant. Open three. Gone! OKD! On the offensive rebound by the Beard. And the Nets take a two-point lead with 34 seconds to go.
And they won 125-123. The call on WFAN. Nets fourth straight win. The last two with Harden. He had 32 points and a triple-double in his debut. And then last night, 34 points and 12 assists. Earlier in the day, Knicks beat Orlando at the Garden, 91-84. Julius Randle, 21 points, 17 rebounds. R.J. Barrett scored 22. Knicks now leave for a four-game road trip starting Thursday at Golden State. The Warriors last night came from 19 down, upset the Lakers in L.A. Islanders and Bruins, a holiday matinee that was scoreless until just over 4 minutes left. J.G. Pageau scored. The Isles won 1-0. St. John's with a 74-70 win at UConn, who came in 7-1 but was without its best player. Freshman Posh Alexander led the Red Storm with 18. The Mets last month hired Jared Porter to be their general manager. ESPN last night with an explosive report that Porter, in 2016 when he worked for the Cubs, sent a female reporter more than 60 explicit and unsolicited texts. Mets president Sandy Alderson said Porter has admitted to it and apologized, and the team will follow up after reviewing the case. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
All right, John, thank you. Right now, S&P futures are higher by 28 points. That's a gain of 0.75%. Dow futures up 197, 0.6% higher. NASDAQ futures up 1%, up 127 points. Modest gains for European stocks at the moment. 10-year Treasury down 9/32. The yield 1.11%. Yield on the 2-year, 0.13%. This is Bloomberg. And it's just before 6:12 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by Audi. Don't let someone else drive off in the Audi model you've always wanted. Visit a Tri-State Audi dealer to get behind the wheel of yours today.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Global markets rising ahead of a speech by Treasury Secretary nominee Janet Yellen. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up 29 points, Dow futures up 202, and NASDAQ futures up 129. The DAX in Germany is up 0.3%. 10-year Treasury down 9/32, yield 1.11%. Yield on the 2-year, 0.13%. NYMEX crude oil is up 0.75% or 39 cents at $52.75 a barrel. COMEX gold is up 0.8% or $14.30 at $18.44.20 an ounce. The euro, 1.2136 against the dollar. British pound, 1.3623. And the yen is at 103.99. And Citrix Systems says it's acquiring Reich for $2.25 billion in cash. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, President-elect Joe Biden will arrive in Washington today ahead of tomorrow's inauguration. Tonight, he will hold a somber event. President-elect Biden will honor those who have died from COVID-19. Cities around the country will take part with candles lighting and ringing church bells. President-elect Biden's incoming administration rejected a move by President Trump to rescind coronavirus-related travel bans for non-American citizens arriving from the European Union, the UK, and Brazil. It means the curbs will stay in effect. Today could be the biggest Trump administration pardon and clemency day. The list is expected to include rapper Lil Wayne and former New York Assembly Speaker Sheldon Silver, who was convicted of corruption and is now serving prison time. In the NBA, the Knicks, Nets, and Warriors all won. In the NHL, the Islanders shut out the Bruins 1-0. Global news, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Thanks, Michael. 6:19 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Broker Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. We want to get the latest now on the pandemic, with the U.S. on track to reach 400,000 deaths before Joe Biden takes the oath of office as president tomorrow. That's as the vaccination effort continues to slowly gather steam. For more, we're joined by Dr. Stuart Ray, Vice Chair of Medicine at the Johns Hopkins University School of Medicine. Doctor, good to have you on with us as always. First, can you give us an update on how things are looking in the Johns Hopkins system?
We're doing okay. We're still managing to keep things with a good capacity for caring for patients. We definitely have a heavy load of patients with COVID, but are also trying to take care of people with a broad array of other conditions. So our ICUs are not full, but they're certainly being stretched.
Do you expect the vaccination effort to change noticeably once a new administration is in place?
Well, I think the effort to vaccinate is on multiple tracks, and I'm sure that there are going to be extra efforts with the new administration, but I think everyone was dedicated to ramping up as quickly as possible in any case. And so I think that as we get more doses mobilized, the manufacturers are ramping up supply, and we're learning the intricacies of administering this vaccine, which is, or these vaccines, which are very complex in terms of cold chain and watching for adverse effects, making sure that these are safe. I think that the whole thing can get more lubricated, and we can move this faster. It's just been a little frustrating how long it's taken to do that.
Yeah, I would imagine it has been, certainly for the millions of Americans who are waiting for vaccines. Should we continue to prioritize people as the rollout continues, as more vaccine doses are made available? Does it make sense to continue doing things like prioritizing healthcare workers and other essential workers over others?
Well, I think we need to make sure that we prioritize people at risk. And I do think that we've done, in many areas, a good job of getting healthcare workers vaccinated. I think there was a concern about capacity for caring for people during this big spike, and a lot of that has been handled. So I think the emphasis on is getting doses to people who are vulnerable. We are doing a good job in many areas in getting it to people in long-term care facilities, but we also need to get it to the broad population of people at risk, including people of color and those who have least access to health care. And I think those are real challenges still. Opening up the floodgates completely would probably not work well because there are so many people at risk. And so we need to find a way to organize this. And unfortunately, the way that it is prioritized is a hodgepodge of websites and tools, many of which don't work very well.
Concern about people of color raises the issue, I think, that the World Health Organization has put out, expressing concern that vaccine inequities around the world could allow these new variants that we continue to see to crop up and spread even further. Is that a concern that you share, and is it something that we as Americans need to be worried about?
Yes, colleagues have been asking me whether I think that we'll need to retool the vaccine every couple of years. And my initial inclination would have been to say no, that once we get vaccine rolled out, that we should limit the number of variants that are circulating and reduce the rate of evolution, because the number of people infected should be reduced. However, with the inequities of distribution of vaccine and the challenges of distributing these vaccines, of course, some of the others may be easier to distribute. I think if we don't do a good job of vaccinating the global population, then we're going to have ongoing replication of this virus in a large number of people, which will lead to new variants. And if vaccine dosing is not optimal, if the number of people infected and partially vaccinated is high, then we could see evolution to escape the vaccine. And that would really be unfortunate. We'd have to retool these vaccines. And some of these are easier probably to redesign than others.
In our last minute here, we're starting to see vaccine trials open up to younger people, 12 to 18-year-olds. What are your expectations about how those vaccine trials could go?
My guess is that the vaccine will be well tolerated. Young people can have vigorous immune responses, so we'll have to watch for reactogenicity, the reactions that people have immediately after getting the vaccine. And make sure we especially attend to people with allergy history. But I think that those vaccines are likely to do well in those populations and may help with opening up schools. So I think that we're going to see some benefits. I also think that the recent data from the UK suggests that the spike can be blunted with non-vaccine efforts if we were really assiduous about them.
Thank you, as always, for your expertise. Dr. Stuart Ray with us this morning, Vice Chair of Medicine at the Johns Hopkins University School of Medicine. So far in the U.S., more than 14.7 million coronavirus vaccine shots have been administered. You can follow the effort through the Bloomberg Vaccine Tracker. It's online at Bloomberg.com. Right now, S&P futures higher by 29 points. Dow futures up 199. NASDAQ futures on the rise by 128 points. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by your tri-state area Land Rover retailers. Introducing the 2020 Land Rover Defender, Motor Trend's 2021 SUV of the year. Put the Defender's capabilities to the test at your local Land Rover retailer. Land Rover, above and beyond.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130 to Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 991 to Boston. Bloomberg 1061 to San Francisco. Bloomberg 960 to the country. Sirius XM Channel 119 and around the globe. The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
It's 6:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We're just about 3 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. U.S. futures are higher a day before Joe Biden takes office as the 46th president of the United States. The president-elect arrives in Washington later today amid heavy security and a military lockdown. We get more from Bloomberg's Derek Wallbank.
You are seeing a security posture in the nation's capital that I have never seen before. It's going to be very quiet this year. It was going to be quiet before COVID, but now you've got barricades up creating what is effectively a green zone.
Outgoing President Trump has no plans to invite the Bidens to the White House before tomorrow's inauguration.
And Bloomberg News has learned White House officials have expect that the president has no plans to pardon himself. We get more from Bloomberg White House correspondent Josh Wingrove.
He's going to have some legal headaches going forward, but it doesn't look like he will do pardon for himself or his family. Instead, we do expect a big chunk of pardons to come out, including, you know, celebrities, that sort of thing.
And President Trump has already issued pardons to several political allies and friends in the weeks since he lost re-election.
On Capitol Hill, Treasury Secretary nominee Janet Yellen is expected to call for expansive government action to bolster the U.S. economy. The former Fed chair begins her Senate confirmation hearing today.
And as Yellen addresses the economic fallout from the pandemic, the death toll is on the cusp of a grim milestone. We get more on that live from Bloomberg's John Tucker. John.
Nathan, the country is on track to surpass 400,000 coronavirus deaths as soon as today. Still, there are signs that daily cases in the U.S. are coming off their highs. And trials to make sure vaccines are safe for the young are beginning. The University of Oxford is planning initial tests in 12 to 18-year-olds next month. Pfizer and Moderna started recruiting participants at the end of last year, but finding volunteers hasn't been easy. John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, John, thank you. And on Wall Street today, big bank earnings continue. Coming up, we get results from Goldman Sachs and Bank of America, and we'll hear from Netflix in the afternoon. Futures are higher this morning. S&P futures are up 28 points. Dow futures are up 196, and NASDAQ futures up 128. DAX in Germany is up 0.4%. 10-year Treasury down 10/32. The yield 1.11%. Yield on the 2-year 0.13%. NYMEX crude oil is higher, up 0.6% or 30 cents at $52.66 a barrel. COMEX gold is up 0.8% or $13.80 at $1,843.80 an ounce. The euro 1.2130 against the dollar. British pound 1.3621. The yen is at 104. Straight ahead, we have your latest local headlines, plus a check of sports. And this is Bloomberg.
Okay, thanks, Karen. 6:33 on Wall Street. Michael Barr is back with more on what's going on in New York and around the world. Michael.
Thank you very much, Nathan. New York Governor Andrew Cuomo says he asked Pfizer if the state could buy vaccines directly from the company because the U.S. government has failed to increase supply. However, Pfizer said no. Cuomo once again called out the feds for not stopping flights from the countries where new COVID strains have emerged. During his briefing, he says that any of the new strains could touch off a surge that could even surpass the nation's first wave.
There's now a Brazilian strain, which may actually be worse than the South African strain or the UK strain. any of these three strains could be a second wave.
New York will get 250,000 doses this week, 50,000 fewer than last week. California is urging a halt to using a batch of the Moderna vaccine while an investigation of side effects is investigated. Bloomberg's Ed Baxter reports.
This is 300,000 doses in one lot. The state's top epidemiologist says there have been a number of severe reactions, and Dr. Erica Pond says out of an abundance of caution, she wants the FDA and CDC to investigate. There have been fewer than 10 people who needed treatment for a 24-hour period. Moderna says it is unaware of any adverse reactions from other sites that use the same lot. This comes at a time when the state has become the first to top 3 million virus cases. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Violent protests outside New York City Hall led to dozens of arrests last night. Black Lives Matter protesters also demonstrated on the Brooklyn Bridge. Police say several officers suffered non-life-threatening injuries. Melania Trump has released a farewell video on her Twitter feed. The First Lady discussed how she became inspired to begin her Be Bust initiative.
When I came to the White House, I reflected on the responsibility I have always felt as a mother to encourage, give strength, and teach values of kindness.
President Trump's approval rating has dropped to 34% in a Gallup poll, the low point of a presidency that already had the weakest average approval rating of any of his predecessors since the survey began in the 1940s. The latest numbers are based on a poll before the January 6th assault on the Capitol. Global news, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Thanks, Michael. 6:35 on Wall Street. John Stashower has the Bloomberg Sports Update.
Thanks, Nathan. Knicks, Nets, and Islanders all at home and all with victories. The Knicks coming off that stunning 30-point win in Boston made it two straight since the five-game losing streak. 91-84 over Orlando. R.J. Barrett, 22 points. Julius Randle at 21. Good one in Brooklyn last night. The Nets won their fourth in a row, 125-123 over Milwaukee. James Harden fitting in nicely with his new team. He had 32 points and a triple-double in his Nets debut. And last night scored 34. Kevin Durant had 30, had the go-ahead three-pointer. Seventh straight game that Kyrie Irving has missed, but the feeling is he might play tomorrow in Cleveland. Islanders and Bruins were scoreless until a J.G. Pageau goal with just over 4 minutes left. The Isles won 1-0. St. John's beat 23rd-ranked UConn 74-70. Baylor ranked second, now 13-0 after a win over Kansas. The NFL announced the scouting combine that has been held in Indianapolis every year since 1987 will not take place this year due to COVID. Longtime Patriots offensive coordinator Josh McDaniels, believed to be a strong candidate, if not the favorite, to become the new head coach in Philadelphia. Ex-Jets coach Adam Gase interviewing with Seattle for a job to coach the offense there. The big question this week will be whether Patrick Mahomes can play for Kansas City in Sunday's AFC Championship game. Will it be Mahomes facing Buffalo or backup quarterback Chad Henne? Mahomes is in concussion protocol, but it's not known if he actually suffered one the other day. There's a five-step process ending with being cleared for contact by an independent doctor. There's no set timetable to complete the process, but it usually lasts about a week. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
All right, John, thank you. 6:37 on Wall Street. Time to take a look at stocks. Some of the names moving in the pre-market this morning with Bloomberg Stocks editor Dave Wilson. Of course, Dave, we're waiting for the next round of bank earnings. I would expect those are moving in the pre-market. The banks are waiting for, at least.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Bank of America's fourth quarter results are due in the next few minutes. Shares are up 1% in early trading. The bank's due to report lower fourth quarter profit and revenue, according to analysts' average estimate in a Bloomberg survey. And one thing to watch is whether B of A cuts loan loss reserves, because Citigroup, JP Morgan Chase, and Wells Fargo all did that on Friday. The reductions totaling more than $5 billion. We're also due to get Goldman Sachs within the next hour. Analysts expect the investment bank to report a third straight increase in quarterly profit, and revenue may be little changed after rising the past two quarters. We already have results out from a regional bank, Comerica. Haven't seen any trades in the shares yet. They may rise, though. I mean, fourth quarter profit beating projections.
Of course, it's not just banks we're waiting for, right?
That's true. In the next few minutes, we're due to get results from the oil services company Halliburton. That stock's up 1%. Halliburton's set to report lower earnings for the ninth straight quarter. And then after the close today, Netflix, the streaming video company's fourth quarter results are due. Analysts expect earnings per share to be little changed after surging earlier in the year. And the average estimate for sales growth is 21%. That'd be the slowest since 2013. We have a deal in the laser business, company Coherent, up more than 31% in early trading. The laser maker accepted a takeover offer from one of its peers, Lumentum Holdings. The cash and stock deal is valued at $5.7 billion. Lumentum shares are also higher. You've got Johnson & Johnson up 1.5%. The UK's AstraZeneca up 3% in U.S. trading. Infectious disease expert Dr. Anthony Fauci said over the weekend that U.S. clearance of the company's COVID-19 vaccines may come within weeks. And I got a couple more for you, actually. TC Energy down 5%. This is a company that owns TransCanada Pipelines. You've had CBC News and others report that U.S. President-elect Joe Biden plans to cancel the company's permit for the Keystone XL pipeline tomorrow on his first day in office. And today's going to be the first day of U.S. trading in Stellantis. This is the company that was created when automaker Fiat Chrysler and Peugeot maker FSA Group merged. Now, Stellantis gained more than 7.5% yesterday in Italy, where it's part of the benchmark FTSE MIB index. And today in U.S. trading, Stellantis up about 13%.
Lots to keep an eye on this morning, not just the banks, with Bank of America due to report results in just a few minutes here. Bloomberg Stocks editor Dave Wilson, thank you as always for keeping us on top of the movers in the pre-market and taking a look at markets as a whole. S&P futures are up by 29 points. That's a gain of almost 0.8%. Dow futures up 201. Two-thirds of 1% increase there, and NASDAQ futures are up 1%, up 128 points. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Brought to you by your tri-state area Land Rover retailers, introducing the 2020 Land Rover Defender, Motor Trend's 2021 SUV of the year. Put the Defender's capabilities to the test at your local Land Rover retailer. Land Rover, above and beyond.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We're watching Bank of America earnings cross the Bloomberg, and we'll have more with Bloomberg's Allison Williams in just a moment. But just quickly, it's fourth quarter profit beating analyst estimates. And again, we'll have full details in just moments from now. Futures are higher this morning. S&P futures up 29 points. Dow futures up 198. NASDAQ futures up 126. The DAX in Germany is up 0.3%. 10-year Treasury down 9/32nds. Yield 1.11%. And the yield in the 2-year 0.13%. NYMEX crude oil up 0.5% or 28 cents at $52.64 a barrel. COMEX gold is up 0.7% or $13.50 at $18.43.30 an ounce. The euro is at 1.2128 against the dollar, British pound 1.3615, and the yen is at 103.99. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, White House officials don't expect President Donald Trump to pardon himself, family members, or close aides, according to people familiar with the matter. President Trump is expected to announce a list of pardons on his final full day in office. Meanwhile, President-elect Biden will arrive in Washington today on the eve of his inauguration. Tonight, Biden will hold a somber event. He will honor those who have died from COVID-19. The president's attorney, Rudy Giuliani, says he will not take part in the impeachment trial after all. Giuliani told ABC he is a potential witness. In the NBA, the Knicks, Nets, and Warriors all won. In the NHL, the Islanders shut out the Bruins 1-0. Global news, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg, Nathan.
All right, Michael, thank you. We are live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, where it's just before 6:49 on Wall Street. And as Karen mentioned, earnings from Bank of America have been crossing the Bloomberg terminal. For analysis, we bring in Bloomberg Intelligence senior analyst Allison Williams. And the red headline, Allison, trading revenue for the fourth quarter, modest loss there.
So it's a little bit light, but we do know that Bank of America's trading is a little bit different than some of the others. The risk profile is a little bit different. So we're not going to get overly concerned about that. The number one thing that we were looking for were the buyback, although interestingly, you know, Bank of America sort of gave guidance to the first quarter versus other banks that have given, you know, sort of their program, which extends beyond the quarter. And so it does look like they're maxing out the share buybacks that they can do the first quarter. That's a positive. The second thing is the reserve. So that has been something where we saw a big buildup in the first half of 2020, about neutral in the next quarter. And then this quarter for Bank of America, about an $800 million reserve release. And that's sort of similar to the trend that we saw at J.P. Morgan and Citigroup.
And the earnings per share came in at 59 cents compared to 74 cents year over year. But that was a beat. Most analysts were expecting about 55 cents.
Yes. And the next number that we're looking for Bank of America, which we haven't quite seen yet, is their net interest income number. So this is a story that was a clear negative for the banks as we saw the Fed go to short-term rates close to zero. Those are expected to stay there at least through this year and next year, actually. And, you know, the other thing that's been hitting the net interest income line is the lack of loan growth. Very strong deposit growth, which helps income a little bit, but weighs on the margin. And so for Bank of America, we do see that their net interest margin looks like it's down like one or two basis points from the prior quarter, and net interest income up a tiny bit. And so this is something that I think investors wanted to see in terms of some stabilization in the quarter. So we're at least getting some stabilization. The guidance for next year, which I don't see anything, I'm not sure if we're going to have to wait into the call, but that's is going to be key. We saw the guidance actually higher at J.P. Morgan. We saw it actually lower at Wells Fargo. And so what is going to be the trend for Bank of America?
Yeah, and just quickly, our last 30 seconds here, looking ahead to the call, a lot of the focus from the other banks that have reported so far has been the outlook for the rest of the year, given the complexity surrounding the virus. What are your expectations? What will you be listening for?
Exactly. So three things. So first is the net interest income guidance. We know that short rates are low. What are the expectations for longer term rates? Bank of America had talked about deploying some of their balance sheet into securities. What's the outlook for net interest income? Two is costs. That's an area that has surprised to the upside across all the banks. And when I say to the upside, meaning higher costs. So it's a negative. A lot of that, though, is investment spending. So what is the outlook on the cost side of things? And then finally, for provisions, which as we're expecting now for losses to increase in the back half, we see that there was a reserve release. Was that due to the better economy? What is the underlying trend for the portfolio?
And looking at Bank of America shares in the pre-market, up 0.4% as we continue to digest those earnings. Bloomberg Intelligence Senior Analyst Allison Williams, thank you for getting us the very latest on that. We want to turn now to what's happening in D.C., of course, with President-elect Joe Biden preparing for inauguration, framed by heavy security and political division. Let's bring in Bloomberg Politics Editor Kathleen Hunter. What is the situation like in D.C. right now, Kate? We've all seen the pictures of National Guard in full force, beyond full force in a lot of ways.
Absolutely. And I think it really stands in pretty sharp contrast to what we're used to seeing on an inauguration eve in Washington. You know, usually it's people are getting ready for inaugural balls and parades and standing on the mall in the freezing cold watching the inauguration. It's a much different scene this time around. It's like Fortress Washington with all the National Guard troops the biggest military presence in Washington by all accounts since the Civil War. No inaugural balls happening. Nobody on the mall. It's been replaced by, you know, just rows and rows of American flags that are standing in for the crowds. This is really going to be an inauguration very different from any that we've seen in recent memory.
Yeah, not just in terms of the trappings, but in a lot of ways, the traditions surrounding inauguration. We're not going to get the traditional visits between the outgoing and incoming presidents. The outgoing president is leaving early.
He is, and it's you know, it's a pretty unprecedented snub when it comes to what we've seen normally or what we've come to expect in terms of the peaceful handover of power from one president to another. We do know that Joe Biden is going to be staying at Blair House across the street from the White House tonight before the inauguration. However, he is not planning to have a meeting. Trump has not offered him a meeting at the White House, which is something that, you know, a courtesy that was extended to President Trump himself by President Obama pretty much immediately after the election in 2016. And then again, Trump and the current First Lady, Melania Trump, went to the White House and actually traveled up to Capitol Hill for the inauguration 4 years ago with the Obamas. That obviously isn't happening this year. We know that that President Trump is going to be departing from Andrews Air Force Base in the morning ahead of the inaugural, and Vice President Mike Pence will be attending, but the president himself will not be, even though, you know, a number of former presidents, everyone except for Jimmy Carter, is planning on taking part in most of the events of the day.
Only about 30 seconds left here. We're going to get cabinet confirmation hearings beginning this morning, not the least of which, of course, Treasury designate Janet Yellen.
Yeah, and so I think it'll be interesting to see what Janet Yellen has to say about this $1.9 trillion proposal, this economic stimulus proposal that Joe Biden unveiled last week. It'll be curious in particular to hear what Republicans have to say about that and if we get any indication from them about how they might, you know, which aspects of it they may be not as receptive to.
Very busy week ahead, even though a holiday shortened week for traders. Bloomberg Politics editor Kathleen Hunter, thank you. As always, you can read more on these stories at Bloomberg.com or on the Bloomberg Terminal. Listen to Bloomberg Radio in Washington at Bloomberg 99.1 at 105.7 FM HD2. Karen.
All right, Nathan, thank you. It is 6:56 on Wall Street. It is time now for the Bloomberg NJIT STEM Report, brought to you by New Jersey Institute of Technology, ranked in the top 2% nationally for alumni mid-career earnings and number one for student upward economic mobility. Learn more at njit.edu. Now here's what's making news in science, technology, engineering, and math. President-elect Joe Biden said his advisors will lead with science and truth. Biden introduced his slate of scientific advisors over the week. He emphasized how scientific research leads to practical progress and better quality of life, from the COVID-19 vaccines and the new cancer treatments to clean energy expansion that reduces carbon emissions. China is welcoming the U.S. back to the Paris Accord and promised to make greater contributions to the global climate response. China and the U.S., the two largest greenhouse gas emitters in the world, played key roles in reaching the agreement in 2015. And frustrated by the flow of coronavirus vaccine from the federal government, New York Governor Andrew Cuomo is floating the idea of buying shots directly from one of the vaccine makers, Pfizer. Cuomo says he felt compelled to broach the idea as his state, like many others, faces tough vaccine math. At the current pace of federal vaccine shipments to New York, it could take 6 months or more to get shots to the 7 million residents already eligible under federal guidelines, let alone the roughly 12 million other New Yorkers. And that's the Bloomberg NJIT STEM Report. Futures this morning are on the rise. S&P futures up 29 points. Dow futures up 202. NASDAQ futures up 129. And the 10-year Treasury down 10/30 seconds, yield 1.11%. We continue to watch shares of Bank of America up 0.8% after it reported earnings just moments ago. And Bloomberg Surveillance is straight ahead with Tom Keene, Jonathan Farrow, and Lisa Abramowitz. For Nathan Hager, I'm Karen Moscow, and this is Bloomberg.